Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey, everybody, what's up? Welcome to the Roofer Show podcast, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I am your host, Dave Sullivan, the roofer coach, and sitting next to me is John DeLaurier. John DeLaurier, roofing out of Savannah, Georgia, our other roofing coach and co-host of the podcast. John, what's happening?
I'm trying to come up with a new name. I've been trying to rebrand for a couple months now, and DeLaurier is hard to say. I can barely say it myself.
How do you say that again? Can't. Yeah.
I can't even spell it. So, open to suggestions on comment below on whatever platform you're listening to. Looking at Peach State Roofing, looking at Georgia Roofing Solutions, because we do serve a large portion of the state of Georgia, because we have another office in Athens as well. So that's what's going on with me, trying to come up. I've got a color palette that I've selected. Got to come up with a good name. I've bought a couple of URLs. Got to get things moving because I want 2024 to be an even better year than it was this year.
And this year was a record year for you, right?
It will end up. It's still November 1st when we're recording this. That's projected right now. It looks like we're going to be a record year by the end of December.
Nice. Well, I thought you were using Dan Antonelli, our branding expert.
Dan is great. They have a great process, a great product. I am just not in a position to spend $45,000 to $50,000 on my rebrand. So I'm going to do it all myself, which I've been working with some lovely people at Fiverr and some other professionals that do rebranding as well. So we'll probably do it for probably half that or a third of that.
Yeah, everybody's going to want to check that episode out. It's 333 with Dan Antonelli, who is awesome as far as branding. And that is your roofing business branded or blanded? You can learn a lot from that. You have to build a good brand. You don't have to start from scratch, but you do have to build a good brand. It's really going to make a difference. It is expensive to rebrand, but I think you're right. It is a tough name to remember. I think using a name for those that are thinking about starting a roofing business, you have a hard time exiting your business and selling it when you've got somebody's name and you're no longer there, which is going to be hopefully where you're going to be at some point. Yeah, coming up with a name is not easy. And coming up with a URL is not easy at all. That's a tough part. How do you come up with a good URL that you can use that people can remember? So, well, good luck with that. I know that you'll come up with a great program over the winter here. So we'll be talking about that more. But today we've got a great show. We've got Ryan Groth from Sales Transformation Group on. And Ryan's great. He's been on the show a number of times. We have a great discussion about how to sell and why you need to learn these skills, whether it's the owner-only one-man show at this point, or you've got a big sales team. We have a great conversation. But where we started, which I thought was really interesting, because we covered this the last time he was on the show, and it was, what's your definition of success? Because we start with our business plan, okay, which I'm going to get into also in a second. But that's where we start. You have to start with your why. Where is your destination? Where are you going? What are you doing this for? You know, your why. And you better be absolutely clear on that, because you know, the success, it changes as we go. As Mike Tyson says, you know, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. So you got to be able to change and adapt But, you know, and that was the conversation that we had, because Ryan's been on, you know, he's been doing this for a long time. I did it for a long time. And my definition of success changed quite a bit. John, we talked about yours. Tell us a little about what your definition of success is and how that might have changed.
I think it always changes just as we get older. The things that we like and love and want to accomplish, they always change. So personally, what does your day look like? What, you know, how does your family life look? Do you get to spend time with your family? Do you like to work long hours? Some people do, some people don't. You know, professionally, what things do you want to accomplish professionally? Do you want to reach certain accolades? Are those important to you? Some people it is. And obviously financially, you want to see, like, what is your personal income? Not what your revenue is, but what are you taking home and what does that look like? Are you able to save? Are you able to give? Or, you know, what type of things do you want to purchase with the financial side of things? It's different for everyone, but I think that it's really important to not just revisit it every January when we come up with, you know, we're on the edge of 2023, 2024. So not every January you just come up with some new list of things you want to accomplish, but probably two or three times a year, really revisit to see if you're actually achieving those goals, the personally, professionally, financially. That's what, you know, my definition of success is, that if I'm actually achieving those things that I set out to do.
Well, I agree. You know, I've been doing this for a while, so my definition of success has certainly changed in talking with so many contractors. You know, we talk about this a lot when we start to talk originally with a lot of contractors are always wanting to scale their business. That's why we call this a no scale zone, because you've got to build that foundation first before you can scale. And you better understand what that looks like, because if you want to be a $20, $30 million business, and you want to take your kids to the, you know, to Little League and watch them grow up and so forth, generally, you're not going to be doing that when, you know, you're scrambling, you know, trying to make payroll, going through the ups and downs of running a large business like that. So that's something you really want to be clear on. And, you know, we talk about this a lot because we come out of our Wednesday mastermind. We've got a group that we meet with every Wednesday. And in our roofer, it's called the Roofer Mastermind, and we've got this group, I think, 8 to 10 guys and ladies, actually. And it's awesome. We kind of get together on different subjects. You know, they'll throw in some questions before we meet about what they need help on and support and so forth. But I wanted to talk about business planning today. Because, you know, it is November and another 2 weeks. I mean, the year's over. You know, you get in the holidays, nothing happens. You know, nobody's going to buy anything. You know, you can't get work done. Everybody splits. So you have to have your business plan together. And if you don't have a plan, I mean, and most contractors don't. Okay. So this is why John and I came up with, it's called the one-page business plan. It is a short version of our big business plan, you know, but you can do this, really go through this in 4 hours or so. But it gets you thinking about the process. And that's what we're talking about, is the process of planning, going through the plan and thinking this through, taking a step back and putting some effort into that. That's what we talk about. You know, what's your definition of success? Where's your destination? Because once we understand that, we can come back and build a roadmap to get you there with these questions. And these are the questions that you need to answer. So if you want to get a copy of this, just go to our website at theroofershow.com. You can download it for free, but it's, you know, lays it out. I think it's pretty good and it'll get you going. But the other thing about it, I mean, this thing's been downloaded, God, I don't know, over 2,000 times, but I'll bet maybe 10 to 20, probably 10, 15% of the contractors that download this actually do it, you know, and everything is implementation. And that's where we know that, you know, most contractors, you know, they're not going to be successful when the economy turns and so forth, because you can't get things implemented. Everybody's got great ideas. I mean, you can listen to all the podcasts and so forth. You know, I'll give you 1,000 ideas. I've got all this stuff rattling around in my head, but if you can't implement it, if you can't sort through all the shiny objects and so forth, and that's why we talk about the one thing. Okay. You know, we've got this long list of crap that we've got to do. Well, start with one thing. What's the one thing that's going to move the needle in your business, that's really going to make a difference? And focus on that first. It's not the only thing we've got to do, but the one thing, this is where we spend our effort and make sure that we get it accomplished. I know one year ours was building a service department for the business, you know, and that was a huge undertaking that we talked about for years. But by breaking it out and saying, okay, here are the steps involved with doing this. Okay, who's going to do it? Assign those steps, set a deadline, and follow up and make sure that it gets done. So this is business planning. I mean, what's going to happen next year? You got to look ahead. You know, what are the threats? What are the opportunities? What are your strengths and weaknesses? As we call a SWOT analysis. And you better understand that and put some thought into it, because there are some real threats coming up this next couple of years. Economy is changing. We talk about this a lot. We're seeing this in our groups. Leads are really slowing down. The number of searches, Google searches, is way down. So we can tell from that there's just fewer people out there looking for roofs. So that pie is shrinking. How do you get a bigger piece of the pie? And you got to have a plan for it. John, what do you think? I mean, you've been doing this for years, always planning, always working on this, because, you know, we started working together, I don't know, six years ago or so. That's where we started. What say you?
It's definitely harder than ever, especially if you're a new contractor or just one that's never really worked on an actual marketing plan, to get new, really good pre-qualified leads. It's really, really difficult. So the consistency is super important. Before we hit record, again, this is the beginning of November. For us in Georgia, there's no real storm. The storm season's kind of over. Even though we do majority of our work is retail work, there's not really a pain point for a lot of homeowners to replace their roof or to do anything, even to repair their roof. They're thinking about Thanksgiving coming up in a few weeks. I'm going to my brother's wedding. There's a lot of weddings going on. There's still football. There's just a lot of things going on in the fall time. And then you got Christmas as well, and you got New Year's. So a lot of roofers go into a deep depression because there's just not a lot of work in the next few months for a lot of people. We don't even have snow. We have cold weather, but it's not a lot of snow that stops us. We were able to roof almost 12 months out of the year. But I say all that to say that it's slowing down. You need to be super, super consistent about how you plan moving forward, and then create habits and consistency in your personal life and your professional life, so that you're able to move forward in your business starting the next year. And I know we get super busy in the summer, but now is the time to really focus on looking at your process. Are you missing leads somehow? Is somebody not answering your phone? I know we have Ruby as a sponsor of the show. I've used them for years. It's a live person to answer your phone. If you're not doing that, you got to do that right away. It's got to be the first thing that you do.
So important to have that first touch, and it's going to tee up the sale for you. Don't you think, John?
Absolutely. It's essential.
All right. Sorry about that. I just had a coughing attack, so I had to go get some water. But John, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. We were talking about business planning.
Yeah, no, we just, you know, in general, look at your process, Find the money. That's what I say. Find the money. Don't just talk about leads. Leads are important. They are important. But pre-qualified leads are more important. There's a lot of people offering leads. Somebody offered me some leads the other day for totally free. I didn't really want them, but they gave them to us. We had 19 leads. Zero of them resulted in even an inspection, because leads are not the answer. You need to work on your branding, on your marketing, on your inquiry intake questions. We've talked about this till I blew in the face. Go to roofsavannah.com, roofathensga.com, and fill out my form and just look at those questions. That's what Kathleen asks those questions every time. Make sure that you're asking those questions every single time. Find the money. Don't just work leads. So it was a wait. I go back to those leads, the 19 leads. Kathleen worked them all. Called them all, you know, all we had really, really fast response time. Within 1 minute, we were responding to these leads, all of them. They were either wrong numbers, they, you know, mailbox full. Oh, my husband filled out this form. All that, all the terrible excuses that people have. That's not the answer. So you need to go, when business is slow, figure out a way to find the money. There's so many ways to find the money. Is your close rate? Do you know what it is? Use a tool, any tool out there that guarantees to show you every 10 estimates I write, I close X number of those. Every 20 estimates I write, I close this number. Know what that number is. It's not just something that smart people that know numbers know. You got to know this stuff. It's you are not a roofer. You are a business owner that knows their numbers, that happens to know about roofing, and you're probably really, really good at it, probably better than me. Just know your numbers first. That's how you find the money. So you can take the same number of leads that you had all 2023 and make 20, 30, 40, even 50% more profit money, profit in your pocket. If you just know your numbers, know how to make sure that you're answering these phone. There's no time for any of this. Call you back. I'll send you to my sales rep and he'll call you and schedule an appointment. If you're doing that, you just quit now. I'm dead serious. You're not going to survive the next 3 years. You better have a process that customer, when they reach out to you on an online form after hours, they're getting an automated response that says, hey, here, click this link to schedule an appointment. They better be getting an instant response from something that prompts them to use your service when you're not working, when you're not there. If they're calling you, every single phone call better be answered before the second ring. None of this, I'll call you, oh, I'm busy. No. You better have something in place that whenever the first person doesn't answer, the next person gets answered. If you don't do that, you're just not going to survive, or you're going to struggle the whole time. And you're just giving away money every single time. If you don't know this, your customer acquisition cost is between $300 and $1,200. I don't care who you are. It could be more than that for some people, whether you like it or not. It's going to be something like that. So every time somebody calls, just think of it. I just threw away $300 if I didn't answer the phone. If I don't have an automated text going out, $300 just went away. And then the potential of actually making money on the job too. Are you priced too low? I know it's super difficult to sell jobs, but you better have a great proposal. There are a lot of great proposal tools out there now. Your proposals better be awesome. If they're not awesome, you're going to get left by the wayside. These are all ways that you can find the money. Set yourself apart. It's not expensive. It just takes time and effort and energy. And when it's slow, work on these things every day like it's your life depends on it. And you will be better in 2024. It's a rough time because roofers are all depressed. I'm super thankful and blessed that we have these big jobs that are finishing up at the end of the year. We're going to be fine. We're going to be really profitable and we're going to have a record year. But a lot of people are not. They're worried about how to make payroll the next month. So if that's the case, then find the money. Look at your process and make sure that you have an incredible set of a list of items for every part of that customer journey, customer experience, whatever you want to call it. Make sure that customer is taken care of the entire time.
You know, you're a business person who just happens to be putting on roofs. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're selling shoes or selling roofs. You're running a business, and you better understand that and understand your numbers for starters, okay? We're coming into a time, I think, you know, where before, you know, it didn't take a lot to run a profitable business. You could do it in spite of all these mistakes that you're making. But now it's going to get tough. It's going to get competitive, and you got to bear down. So one, we've got to have good qualified leads that are in your ideal customer range that you're going to spend the time on. And two, you need to learn how to sell. And that's why we've got Ryan on today. We're going to get into it because it's just so important to improve your sales skills. And that doesn't mean selling used cars. It means asking questions and listening for the answers. And they'll give you a roadmap on how to sell the job. But you mentioned answering the phone. We talk about speed to lead. So important. And this is why Ruby is one of our sponsors. We really believe in these guys. And they are remote receptionists. They'll answer your phone. They answer it quickly with a professional, friendly voice. And they set that sale up for you. They leave a great first impression. Because if you're rolling these things over into voicemail, they're not going to leave a message because they don't think you're going to return their call. And they're probably right. But they want to talk to somebody now. And, you know, it's like Amazon. I mean, you know, hey, I can't wait till tomorrow. I want this delivery this afternoon. And this is how everybody's thinking. So you've got to answer that phone. Step number one, if you're not doing that, you are just throwing leads away in the garbage can. So check out Ruby at getruby.com/theroofercoach. And see what they've got, but they do a great job. We've got a lot of our contractors that use them, love them. So let's get into our interview with Ryan Groth, and we'll talk about sales. Ryan Groth, what's happening, man? Great to see you again.
Great to see you too, Dave.
John DeLaurier, DeLaurier Roofing out of Savannah, Georgia. What's going on?
Another day. October 27th is when we're recording this, and it's a beautiful day today.
What are you? You're out in Texas, you say. Is that right, Ryan? You moved out to Dallas?
We have moved to Dallas for hopefully a short chapter of our lives here. Hoping to get back to the great place of Maui, Hawaii in the near future. But yeah, we're in Dallas right now. Great place for us to be running the business. So it's good.
Nice. Well, yeah, hopefully Maui gets back in action here. We spent a lot of time over there, so that was a tough deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about sales today. And this is an area where obviously so many contractors really need help and don't seek it. But before we get into it, let's see. The last time we had you on, Ryan, we've had you on a few times. We've known each other for a long time since you got started in Sales Transformation Group. But this is going back to episode 199 in November of 2022. That is a while ago. So it's great to have you back on. But we talked about what is your definition of success the last time. You know, we talked about that. We talked about how that's always changing. Well, it's always the first question that we ask when somebody comes and is interested in our coaching programs is, what's your why? Why are you doing this? What's your destination? And really, what is your definition of success? So we can really start there and then come back, build a roadmap to get you to that point. Yes. But what's changed, Ryan? I mean, you know, we talked about that and everybody should go back and check out that episode because it was awesome. 199. But, you know, as we say, our definitions change. Tell us what's going on now with your definition. What do you think? And what can our listeners learn from this discussion?
Yeah, I mean, I think my definition of success is more inclusive of my spouse's definition of success than maybe the last time we talked. I think that if my advice to anybody, if you're married, not everybody necessarily might be married, but if you are, to flesh out the why and the vision with your spouse. I think that many of us, if we're in the business, we probably love it. We're probably pretty passionate about it, and we love the business. And sometimes if the family is maybe not be completely connected, you just don't know what the end game is. You're just like, I just love building something. I love growing. I love taking ground. I love making more money. I love to see the bank account increase. I love to implement new things and hire new people. So I'd say that all of that could be great, but if ultimately, like, if you are doing that and you and your spouse are forging stronger connection on the journey towards something together, you might find yourself drifting apart and have to reel each other back in. And you could save yourself some time by being a bit more united on the why. So I think that, personally, it's more how do we make an impact and grow what we have, but onto a position of independence and freedom financially to only working when we want to work, not when we have to work. And I think that that's a goal of ours in the next 10 years or so. So yeah,
I think that's good advice. Everybody's got to be on the same page, going in the same direction. I could talk about this for a long time. We're not going to get into it. Let's hear from John Delorier, because you've got a young family and so forth. You've got the match made in heaven. So tell us what your definition of a success is these days, because you've been in this business for a while. I'm sure things have changed a bit. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it changes over time. I think that it's fun to see our passions, our desires change. We think that, like, this is a thing. These are our goals. We're going to always want these things. And then they change, whatever state of life you're in. So just like my little 3-year-old is knocking on my door right now in her little fairy dress.
I love it.
She's just knocking right now.
I love Ruby. Tell her to come on in here. Let's talk.
You don't want that right now. Maybe she'll just take right over. She'll take over the entire show. I agree with Ryan. You really do have to put yourself in your family's position and always think. I mean, everything I do is I'm thinking about my kids and my wife and how it affects them. And yes, I love building businesses. I love helping people. But I want to make sure that my time is there is a balance to my life, because if there wasn't, then I would have a lot of troubles at home. And then what's the point? What's the point of having all the stuff if you can't actually enjoy the relationships that you are meant to enjoy and work on? And it's hard work. It is. So you have to have the energy too, not just the time, but the energy to actually put with those relationships. And she's already made it inside.
Hey, okay. There she is.
There she is right here. So that's a big part of it is, I have office in Savannah, office in Athens, but I choose to work at home a lot because I want to have moments like this where I'm able to see them and help them. And our kids homeschool too. So I like to help with that as well. But I do think, you need to really, really get focused on you every day on the schedule that you make. I think that it's something that we want the freedom as business owners to have all that flexibility. But if you've been in any type of entrepreneurial position for any amount of time, that days can get away from you, mornings can get away from you, all those things. And so the more scheduled I am each day, the more freedom I actually do have with the people that I want to spend time with the most.
Well, mine's a little different these days. I've been doing this for quite a while, a little older than you guys. But, my definition of success is really just waking up in the morning. So that's you know, making it, being able to get out of bed, put my pants on by myself. Okay. That's a good definition of success. But, Ryan, you've worked with more than a few contractors, helping them with sales and so forth. What have you learned over these? Oh God, what's it been? Good 10 years now, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been 10 years, talking about sales and sales teams for, in this industry. It's pretty crazy. So we actually, over the past 5.5-6 years, have mandated a sales aptitude, sales competency assessment. It's a third-party assessment. And we have every sales manager, every salesperson take that. And it's a series of questions, multiple choice questions that can really identify what we would call leashes, which would be, you know, if you define performance, it's knowledge minus leashes. And leashes are going to be limiting beliefs and things that hold people back from their best, things that, you know, maybe it's $1,000 is a lot of money to me, you know, as a sales rep. So maybe they think that, so that might limit their income realization or upside, and they may be stuck and they kind of stay complacent. Or, you know, maybe it's, I don't like to cold call, or I don't like the door knock. And so, or I want them to like me. So I don't want to ask them questions that's going to make them feel a little uncomfortable or something. And so we identify these leashes so we can unleash them to be better. But anyway, my point being is, with all that data we've analyzed, we've been able to kind of put them in different buckets of like what we would call selling competencies. And there's about 21 competencies. And we also can summarize their entire sales kind of aptitude total score and put them in a percentile of total overall, ranking. So we have about four categories. We have weak, serviceable, strong, and elite. And there's only about 2% of everybody that's come to us and said we want to get trained that have actually come through as elite. Most everybody have come through, 50% have come through as weak. So I like to say this to kind of think, you know, hey, you're probably in that category. If you're an owner, or you have a small sales team, or you have a big sales team, you're probably the law of large numbers, you know, with close to 3,000 sales reps I've measured in this industry, they're probably going to be somewhere in there or close to it with those percentiles. And so when you think about it, it's like, hey, if I put, you know, 50% of the roof systems I put out failed, you'd be like, well, what would you think about that? It's like, well, I probably wouldn't be in business. It's like, you know, well, what would happen if 50% of your sales force was no longer weak, but they were actually competent salespeople? You know, the product they're putting out in the field to represent you, or maybe yourself, the lack of training you put yourself through, you know, what's missing out on your business health that you could have if you had salespeople with basic sales skills, like, you know, consultative selling? It's interesting, Dave and John, if I were to ask you what percentage of all the roofing salespeople I've evaluated are strong and they're good at consultative selling, what would you guess?
John, what do you think?
Pretty low, pretty low. Yeah, it's hard to be that general personality type is hard to be consultative. Like, it's just hard. I haven't found a lot of people that I've encountered in other roofing businesses, including myself. It's a battle for me every time I meet a customer to be that consultant versus to go through the motions of selling something.
I want to take a quick break to thank our sponsor, and that is Peak Leads. If you're a commercial roofing contractor or thinking about getting into the commercial space, you're going to want to talk to Peak Leads, because that's what they do, is they will get you leads to get on those roofs where you have an opportunity to speak directly with the owner. And that's what's great about Peak Leads. Here we are talking about sales, but before you can close the deal, you've got to have leads. And that's what Peak Leads does. They've got a unique way through their technology to get you on those roofs. So check out Peak Leads at peakleads.io. Jump on a call with them and see what they can do for you. What I see is salespeople, particularly starting off, they're just always talking about themselves or their business or this or that. And they just come in and start talking and talking. I call it, you know, watch your talk, listen ratio. They tend to be nervous. And when that happens, they talk and talk about themselves. Nobody cares about you or your business, man. I mean, you know, what is in it for me, right? That's all anybody cares about. And you need to pull that out. That's your job. And when we talk about consultative, I think we're looking at, you know, how do we help you? We've got to pull that information out. And that really comes down to asking questions, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, only 4% that we evaluated are strong at consultative selling, which is the skill of asking good, great, and timely questions and using active listening skills, right? And you just think about it, like the amount of poise, presence, abundance, confidence, detachment from the anxiousness of needing the sale required in order to be more of an equal business stature type of professional is something that can be trained. And that if that's trained, now what happens when the customer hears somebody care and ask questions? They feel heard, they feel understood, they feel valued. They feel that you must be an expert and you must be different and will add unique value. So now you're selling at a higher close rate with less effort. You're likely shortening your sales cycle and you are increasing your ability to sell value, which is creating the perception that they cannot get anything that you're with you. They're not able to get anything that you're offering or close to what you're offering anywhere but with that sales professional. And so that creates a value. So now we're like, all right, you're positioned to sell value. You're positioned to be consultative. And then when you generate more of a consultative dialogue, there's a lot of other things we identify, but your ability to generate referrals and prospect relationally increases. And what's wild is that, you know, salespeople who prospect and generate referrals and exploit referrals earn 4 to 5 times more than those who don't. And so to be able to be a sales professional who's consultative, positions to sell value, you're going to get referrals and then you're going to go up market and get better clientele because referrals are there in that space. And then you're going to get bigger deal sizes, more margin, and then more referrals and more neighborhoods or more building owners or more property managers through the relationship. So just leveling up the selling competency takes you from average, reactive, going through the motion sales rep doing your $500,000 to $700,000 a year, maybe $300,000 a year, to $2 million a year, you know, to $2.5 million a year, and being able to sell even commercial at a high level because their skills lend itself to more of a pleasurable, helpful experience for the customer. And when you have a trained team or a trained owner who's even dedicated themselves to that, then they can become a professional that other people want to follow, not just be managed by, but to follow in their footsteps, and creates a pretty exciting environment. And a lot of people feel helped and you can create a great career. So I think that the sales training element it's going to become more seriously considered. Because I just think the industry is changing so fast, and that, you know, the need for training, the need for coaching, the need for education, the need for best practices is going to be in more and more demand. The mom and pop will not just be able to kind of coast by anymore without additional resources like that. And so I'm excited for the industry, but those in which that have started to take that approach, it just flips. It flips the sales performance pretty dramatically.
Well, that's why I think coaching training is so important. This is not something that salespeople or contractors, business owners really think about. Is all the things that you said, not just making that sale, but really referrals, getting those reviews, building that book of business. You know, I think sales is pretty easy. There's no magic bullet, but if you ask the right questions and actually listen, most of your prospects will give you a roadmap of how to sell to them.
You know,
I think it's really that simple. I always look at the simplistic way, the easy way to do it. You did say that these skills can be trained. And so you're saying that, you know, when we get into our salespeople born or trained, I think you're saying that these skills can be learned.
Yeah. Just, are you going to be the athletic coach who teaches once and gets mad when everybody doesn't do it? Or are you going to be the one that trains so much that they get it right? Or are you going to be the one that trains so much that they just can't get it wrong anymore? Like, that's the difference.
When you're practicing, you learn these things and you get better. And that's the difference between those at the top of their game and those that aren't. John, what do you think? What's your thoughts? Because you can sell, man. I mean, God, it's crazy what I see you do.
Well, I mean, we've had success over the years, and I do believe in personality types. They're not just one main personality type that can sell. I would consider myself an average salesperson, truthfully. I haven't had a lot of training. I've done a lot of self-education myself. I was on a roof a few hours ago, and it's still fun to me to be able to put at ease. It's our ideal customer, somebody, a female in her 60s who needs a problem fixed with the roof. And I just watched her become disarmed from the questions that I was asking and listening to her and putting her at ease. But even then, even though I am good at that, I want to be great. I want to be elite as well. And so I'm always trying to learn to be even better and never just relying on my natural ability to do things or my experience to deal with homeowners. I think something that's really important for people that are listening, I mean, if you're watching your close rate, adding 2 to 3 to 5% difference is a massive amount of money depending on your volume. What if you add 10% close rate increase? Like, there's a lot of things that you could be doing. Nothing could change with your, if you're a company owner, nothing could change with your price, your process. But if you change your sales process and the way you approach it, it's a huge amount of money. It's a life-changing difference for your time, your effort, your energy. So I firmly believe in continuing to just have the mindset that you need to continue to learn. Like, that's, if you can just live in that, I'm never going to stop thinking that. I was not a great student. There's a lot of things that I was not good at, but I know that I want to continue to educate myself as a business owner and as a salesperson. So that, exactly what you said, Ryan, I want the people that I hire, and Cameron is my Athens area owner. So he's more like an owner operator position, not necessarily a sales manager or general manager. So he has a lot of responsibility, but I want him to want to follow me based on my, not just the data that he sees, because he can see what I'm selling, my close rate, all that stuff, but the way that I execute those sales. We're always going to be trying to, you know, get the 5-star review, get the referrals, but there's always room for improvement. I can't stress that enough. Like, we're constantly, every single week, working on situations, taking personal responsibility. Because I know that there's bad homeowners out there. There are, but there's always things that we can improve. And we're always trying to look at ourselves first versus like the economy or material prices or whatever the situation is, to improve our sales process even before we get to the home. So we're you know, big on automations and big on having Kathleen answer the phone and do the pre-qualification questions too. But we're always trying to improve our entire process. It literally is every week.
Well, you're saying your close rate, for instance, measuring the results. Very few contractors even do that. I ask, okay, well, what's your close rate? They have no idea. And Ryan, you're a professional baseball player, so you probably know if you can get one more hit at 10 times at bat, just doing that is the difference in millions of dollars, I would say, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But those aren't just developed in one training session. That's where we got to find I like to call unconscious competence. So how do we get to a point where your ability to be competent at something is become unconscious, unconscious, and it doesn't require a direct focus? Most people are unconsciously incompetent. They don't know what they don't know. And then they're brought awareness to it through training. And then through training and coaching, they become focused on their, and when they're focused, they're able to be competent. And then after 3 or 4 or 5 months of that, they become unconsciously competent. I was listening to a book recently, in the book, very, very good book called The Gap in the Game. And they had some podcast type sessions after each chapter. And Dan Sullivan, it sounds like Dave Sullivan. I was thinking of you, your face half the time he was talking, Dave. His name's cousin. But he was talking about how your value to in the marketplace is the skill that you demonstrate without effort. So what you're able to do without any conscious effort is your skill. And I thought about that. He's like, you know, skills develop through the conscious competence focus, right? And so I think that, you know, what I'm hearing from you, John, is just like a growth mindset and never feeling like as if you've arrived and finding ways to improve everything you can do. And I think that to your point, you know, the income of somebody selling at, you know, 20%, 25 to 30 to 35 to 40% of your deals that you get a concluded decision on could be dramatic. And so I think that's what it's pretty fun to see those closing ratios increase, you know, and the volume as well. Very rewarding, but I think it could be trained, and I think it could be trained with the right approach and something that everybody should be thinking of, because it's probably one of the quickest ways to make more money. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you think about the fastest way is to spend more money on leads and generate more leads, which I love, you know, digital marketing. I think it's very important. You need SEO, you need, you know, all that. But the fastest way is to get sales professionals who know how to take it from cold to sold, from contact to contract. That is the fastest way to make money. And you can up-level that, create salespeople who attract salespeople, train them to do that, pay them to do that. And they'll do that. And if they become habit-focused salespeople and they have the ability to do that without even thinking about it at a high level, now how valuable is that? You have representation in the marketplace functioning in their skill at a high level without thinking, and they bring a ton of value. And then if you take that and you drop that dramatically to an untrained person, it's very low value. And so I think that it's something that everybody should be thinking about. If you're an owner, let's just say you're an owner operator and you run all the sales, I really think that you need to think, A, am I good? And can I get better? Can I be like John and think like I can always get better and spend time training and developing and becoming a good sales professional? Because I could tell you, if you want to start recruiting salespeople to follow you, they're going to look at you and they're going to be like, is this guy a savage? Is he good? Is he not good? Is she good? Is she not good? Is she just a fraud saying you should do this, but I've never done it and I don't know how to do it? And they have a double standard. It probably won't last very long unless you have like a partner or a really close, tight relationship with a leader who's doing that. And they are the ones that are following, and you're the owner and they know that you're kind of an owner that does owner stuff. So lots to think about there, but if you want to grow your business, this is, I think, one of the easiest ways. And it's just a changing of your own mindset, changing your sales process a bit, having a growth mindset, knowing that we can always learn, applying those learnings, forming good habits, and then saying, cool, I could help somebody make a lot of money and have a great living and teach them sales. And then they happen to know roofing and learn roofing too. And they'll have a lot of satisfaction because you've pretty much already proven it to yourself that somebody, if that's all they do, and they don't have to go to the bank, they don't have to run bill or pay bills, they don't have to do all the owner stuff too. And that's all they do. And they are trained, like, that could be a very exciting invitation.
I think you need a lot of practice. We don't think about whether we're just our own salespeople or as a business owner. We call it batting practice, you know, in our coaching, is that you've got to work at it, just like in baseball, for instance, or any sport. You got to continue to get better. And we start off with doing a postmortem, I call it, you know, at the end of every sales call. What could I have done better to improve? You know, as opposed to just, you know, the typical thing where, oh, that guy's just a cheap screw. They didn't want to buy from me, you know, because of price, rather than really looking at yourself and saying, well, what could I have done better? What did I screw up? What did I do well? And start with that and then get out there and practice. That's why we like role playing so much. Spend the time to do that, particularly if you're running a business, like anything, you know, you've got to practice and get better. And you have to be honest with yourself, is that, man, I really screwed that up. Too many people don't want to do that, you think?
Yeah, so not a shameless plug for ProLine, but we record every phone call. So whatever CRM you have, it needs to record phone calls, however you do it in your business. Every single phone call is recorded. So an easy sales tool, if you're like, I don't want to do role play, whatever objection you're having to role plays or anything like that, sales training within your organization, if you're a leader in your business and you have a phone call, I did it on a job we sold 2 weeks ago. I was like, that was a good phone call. So I tagged Cameron and said, hey, Cameron, listen to this recording. It was 8 minutes and 55 seconds. Listen to this phone call. I overcome every objection that the majority of the time we see. And the job was sold. I never met the customer. A lot of our customers, we never see face to face. So a lot of it is phone sales. So it was a 9-minute conversation. She had all the questions. We already addressed them before this phone call, but she had to hear me say it. So there was just a lot of things that he learned, and he immediately got value out of that phone call because of what I do. He also wants to know the position of the company. Like, how do we treat these situations? Certain things are technical based on what we offer and how we provide the service, but there's also other things that's really builds the confidence in the sales team, because then they know the leader takes this stance on this particular thing about how we do what we do. They can say it every time and with confidence. They don't have to wonder, well, let me ask my, you know, manager or boss or whatever, how we do this. But it's just really easy, because these are objections that we send videos to overcome these objections before the meetings even happen, before the proposal, like 32 second videos, 56 second video. And they get a link to all these, but they may not watch them, or the spouse may not watch them, whatever the reason is, they're not receiving that information before this call. So I highly recommend, it doesn't have to be ProLine. It needs to be something that records phone calls so that everyone on your team can see it really easily. You can share it very easily. Kathleen is constantly reviewing what I say, and she's actually improving her inside sales skills based on the conversations that I'm having with other people. So it's really, really helpful to just know what the leadership is doing within your organization in a really easy way without having to have formal training. You can pick apart a thing and then go through that and maybe role play that particular thing or that particular subject and talk about it. But it has been unbelievably helpful for me to grow my business and do it in the correct way so that everyone has the tools they need to move forward. And it takes, you know, takes a lot of those redundant questions, the questions that I get for months and months and months in the past, now they're just answered. And everyone on the team knows exactly what to do in each situation. It's really, really nice.
Ryan, you said a couple of things. One is that you love leads, and we've got to have leads, but we've got to have quality leads. First off, we understand who our ideal customer is, who we want to market, who we want to speak with that are true buyers, not people that are going to waste our time with, you know, tire kicking and so forth. So that's really the first thing, is not spray and pray, but really dialing that down, understanding what your market is, who your ideal customer is, and spending your time getting those leads, pre-qualifying, as we talk about all the time, making sure that you understand who you're speaking with. And that's the first thing. So I say, well, you know, there's two reasons why your close rate sucks. You know, one is that you're speaking to the wrong people, okay, that are not true buyers, and you're wasting your time on a lot of this. But generally, it's more that, you know, you can't sell. I mean, you don't have those skills. And you're right about, you want to invest money in improving your business, improve it in your sales skills where you can improve your close rate. That's the fastest way, the easiest way. You don't need 10 sales guys. You know, if you can increase your close rate, life is just so much easier. And Ryan, that's what you do. Sales Transformation Group, you know, teaches you, improves those sales. It's the best investment you can ever make. So how do you go about that? What kind of programs do you have to help our listeners improve their sales?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Dave. And John, you made some really great points. Love those insights over at Delorier Roofing. Really good. So you can just go to salestransformationgroup.com if you want to talk to us. But the way we go about it is we have a left to right kind of a methodology called ATMO. So we analyze, train, transform, measure, and optimize. And then we do that in a few ways. You can kind of do it on your own through the training and coursework and group coaching. Or you can work with us in a sales leader peer group, or we can do a very hands-on, come to your office regularly, very heavy done for you service. Everybody, however, no matter which pathway you take, gets treated the same up until the kickoff. And so we do about 5 Zoom meetings, helping prepare the foundation for the kickoff. We have some deeper questions, some structural things we would want to do. And then we do a 2-day kickoff. And the 2-day kickoff is a sales team building training event, whiteboard, screen, content, videos, workshopping, and role play, and implementing sales processes. We have a sales system we implement. And we coach and train to it and get the sales team's confidence up, ready to go prospect more, ask better questions, qualify better, close more effectively. And it just gets them in the training mindset. And then we put them in a group coaching calls regularly. And then we'll work through the sales leader they have to teach them how to be better at training and coaching internally and how to be more effective at it. Or we do that heavy lifting for them, depending on just their lack of time or lack of a sales manager internally. So it's a lot of fun. We typically have pretty long-term relationships with our customers, and it's a lot of fun. So.
Now, you've got a number of different programs for contractors. Tell us a little about that, what you offer, and some of the different types of programs that you've got.
Yeah, so we have a commercial sales accelerator. We have a residential sales accelerator, which is primarily for retail. And then we have a Roof Warrior program. So Roof Warrior is a door-to-door insurance focused, how to build that sales team of people who know how to create their own honey hole and generate their own referrals. How to do a 4-point inspection, how to get the deal signed, primarily for that, storm restoration contractor. So we have 3 primary sales programs, and then we deliver them through what we call Core, Winter Circle, or Platinum.
Good stuff. John, what do you think? It's such a great investment. You've got to learn these skills. What do you think? You talk with a lot of contractors out there, John.
I think there's a cultural shift from traditional university to trades, and sales is part of most of these. If it's a plumber, HVAC, just any high ticket one-off sales, like, you need to be investing in yourself. If we're going to go into $120,000 of debt for some degree we didn't even use, why not focus on that? And like, let's focus on something that can actually give you the freedom, give you the skills that you need so that you can be as successful as you can be. And I never in a million years thought I'd be selling anything ever. If you asked me 15 years ago, I never thought that would be me. I thought I'd be working, just, going through the motions, just like I said, get my degree. I got it. 2009 happened. I didn't have any jobs. So I had to scramble and do what I had to do with the past, 15 years. But sales is something that I really have enjoyed and enjoyed learning and improving myself. And I think that any program you can do like the STG you should invest in that. You should really look into these things because it is going to help you personally. It's going to help you professionally and obviously financially as well.
And those that think, I just don't like sales. It's kind of sleazy and, I don't really enjoy it. Well, you're in the wrong business then because you've got to learn how to sell. Well, in any business, nothing happens until somebody sells something. I always say, the smaller guys, you got to learn to sell. You got to learn to get your process down before you can teach others and really lead in the growth of your business. So, Ryan, what's the first step? What do we do to you'd mentioned getting on a call?
Yeah, you can follow us. Go to salestransformationgroup.com, book a call. You can follow me on Instagram at the sales athlete. You can check us out on LinkedIn, Sales Transformation Group, Ryan Groth. We put a content out. Our YouTube channel has content as well. You can come to a conferences of ours. We have events throughout the year. We typically run a few. We have a Roof Warrior event in March. I ran three events this year, Transform, Roof Warrior, and ServiceCon. So we have a lot of different things going on. If you want to get your foot into our world, just first thing you can do is just take set up a call, and one of our teammates, our growth consultants, will talk with you. And if they provide a very poor sales experience, then don't buy from us. Let's just say that.
Exactly. Well, Ryan, it's always great to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming back on. It's been too long. We'll have to get you on sooner. I always learn a ton, and we'll catch up later.
Thanks. Good to see you, John. Thanks, Dave.
All right. Well, that's it for the show today. We really appreciate everybody listening. And if you want to get that one-page business plan that we talked about, and you do, time is running out, man. You better have a plan for 2024. Go to our website at theroofershow.com. You can download it for free. Just get out of the office, spend, 2, 3, 4 hours going through this. It will make a huge difference. It'll give you clarity, get you organized coming into the new year. And if you need some coaching, you need some help, you want to talk about what we have available with the Roofer Coach, get in touch with us. You can go to our contact page, click the big blue button, set up a time with me. We can chat about your business and see if we can help. All right, we'll see you next week on The Roofer Show.